You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of June. The rightful order of the basketball universe. That's what this free agency is about for the Utah Jazz. The NBA Finals, Game 5 tonight. The Warriors, what's happened, what's wrong, and is this the end? And latest thoughts on some of the draft prospects. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, making the offseason a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan and to be engaged. All right, let me update you on a few things. Sorry, on last week, Wednesday and Friday were impossible to get shows out. I am going to be actually going on a vacation with the fam coming up here, I think, next Wednesday, I think it is. So we'll have a show for you next Monday, maybe, and Tuesday, and then I will leave you leading into the draft. Now, here's the good news. Last time I left you and went out of the country for the draft, we got Donovan Mitchell. So it's really just my commitment to you to make sure that you get the next version of Donovan Mitchell. Okay? Just want to make sure you were aware of the things I'm willing to do for the franchise. Or I have a really wonderful opportunity to go on a great vacation. Another note for you. Locked On NBA. Mock draft starts Wednesday. We've done this for the last few years. It's a great deal of fun. It's a five-day show taking you pick by pick. We make trades. I'm offering the 23rd pick to everybody and anyone. I'll keep you updated on how that goes. I'm trying to get rid of that 23rd pick the best I can to get somebody who can shoot. That's my whole approach of the 23rd pick of the draft. I also have a feeling that I do believe, I don't know if I could back this up with numbers, if I actually had to back this up with numbers or was in a position where I actually had to make this decision, I would want to back it up with numbers. I do feel there's a certain point in every franchise where you draft every other year. And I kind of think we're there. Like, if we think Grayson's got a chance to be good, then we probably don't draft this year because you don't need another young guy. And you use your pick every other year to draft and every other year to acquire talent to help your team. So that's my approach as the general manager of the Utah Jazz in the Locked On mock draft, is to get rid of that 23rd pick and get a player that gives us either a longer contract and helps our cap space or does not help our cap space. My goals would be shooting and actually another year on a deal in a similar cap space situation. We have $38 million. If we can move one of our players and get an extra year, that'd be good. And shooting. That's my thought. All right, I've watched the fight. This is maybe esoteric and BS-y, but I think there's some value to this. So, or else I wouldn't be talking about it. So I'm watching the NBA playoffs and watching the Raptors. What has happened with Kawhi Leonard's addition to the Raptors is obviously they got a lot better than DeMar DeRozan, which was kind of my point about them all year. But they also, by having Kawhi Leonard get better, the rightful order of the basketball universe has kicked in. And I actually use this phrase all the time if you've been a long-time Locked On listener. And the concept is that players have skill sets and abilities, and when you build a roster, you need to make sure that they stay inside of that skill set or that ability. That you really have to be very careful when you ask someone to go beyond the level of which they're probably naturally capable and then they don't perform well, and then you criticize them, and then you think they're not as good as they are. That's not true. That's that you put them in the wrong place. So when Kyle Lowry has been asked to be the number one option and carry a franchise at 6 feet tall as a late first-round draft pick who has incredible skills but is limited in some ways, he looks like a failure. And it's been the story of the Raptors playoff year in and year out. That, and when you ask DeMar DeRozan to be a number one lead guy, all of a sudden, he looks like a failure. And then, because Kyle Lowry's not quite up to it, you're asking too much out of Serge Ibaka. And frankly, you know, this was prior to Pascal Siakam coming into his own, and so you're asking even more out of Serge Ibaka. So what Kawhi Leonard has done has put each of the pieces of the Raptors, and then Pascal Siakam's emergence has done, into the rightful order of the basketball universe. In other words, Kyle Lowry is a brilliant leader. He's a great tempo player. He makes super reads. He puts in great energy. He gives all of his body on defensively. He can do all of those things and not be asked the burden of 26 points a game or of creating all of his own offense, but he can create for other people. That's where he's much better. Serge Ibaka is not a second scorer. Or even a third scorer anymore, or ever was, really. He's a long, athletic, defensive player who's a decent spot-up shooter, who can play the pick and roll, could pick and pop if you need him to, can pick and roll if you can't, can rotate defensively, can do all these fabulous things. And with the emergence of Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka can now do those things. But if you even look at this series, Serge Ibaka has been great since midway through game three, but he wasn't great before that because, you know what, he's just not that great every single night. Marc Gasol, super player, 32, 33 years old, not really ready to carry a team anymore. And because of this collection of talent, everything's right. The Warriors' rightful order of the basketball universe is off for a different reason. Durant being gone, they're so talented it doesn't screw them up, except for Livingston and Iguodala just are old and not as good as they once were, right? So Livingston doesn't really have an offensive game anymore. Iguodala's 4 of his last 24 from 3, and all of a sudden now Quinn Cook and guys have to make plays. Well, that's not the rightful order of the basketball universe. Those guys aren't capable of making plays. This is how it relates to the Jazz. Who was our number two scorer last year? Who was our number two offensive option last year? And frankly, for that matter, who was our number three and who was even our number four? The guys that you might be answering, that's not the rightful order of the basketball universe. What Joe Ingles does brilliantly is runs the second unit pick and roll against second tier guys and torches them because they're not used to defending at 6'7", and they're not used to playing high pick and roll as a small forward, and he does an incredible job of that, and Favors is destroying a second-team guy, and that pick and roll is great. But if you're asking Joe Ingles to go make offensive plays and to create for himself, as we saw, the Rockets just took him completely out of the playoffs. And we've seen what happens when Ricky Rubio wants to go take 16 and 17 shots in a game. That Ricky Rubio, in my opinion's rightful order of the basketball universe, is probably, frankly, 5, 6, 7 shots a game because there's so many other scorers around him, and let him be that passion player and create and take an open 3 or 3 a game. But he's not, you know, when Ricky Rubio takes, you know, 15 shots or more, the Jazz were like 3 and 7 last year. You know, when Ricky Rubio takes 14 or more shots last year, I think the Jazz, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think they were 6 and 7. Like, that's just not who the Jazz are. When Rubio takes, you know, 7, 8 shots a game, moving it around, getting a bunch of assists, that's who he is. That's when he's as, but I would argue that his best game of the year, I mean, might have been, I thought it was it New York or somewhere like that where he, you know, he really got going. Now, the thing on Ricky, and this is actually, frankly, to me, the most disturbing thing on Ricky, is when you look at Ricky's shot selection, the nights where he doesn't shoot is because he's not making them. It's not because he's doing other things. It's because he stopped making them, so then he stopped shooting. Well, that's even worse, right? If you look at Ricky's low shot nights, the Knicks game was great. He had 10 free throws, only took 2 shots, but they're an 0 of 4 against Houston. They're an 0 of 4 against Sac. They're a one of seven against Minnesota, one of seven against Phoenix, a one of eight against New Orleans, a two of eight against Milwaukee, an 0 of eight against Golden State, a two of eight against Indiana, a one of eight against Houston, a one of eight against Memphis. There's a few others in there, but that's not the right floor of the basketball universe. For me, the right floor of the basketball universe is Ricky's playing with passion, getting 50-50 balls, creating for other people, finding opportunities, taking shots when he needs to. But not probably, you know, for per 36 minutes, Ricky Rubio in Minnesota was taking 9 shots a game. For us, he's taking 14. That's not the right floor of the basketball universe. And that's, to me, what has to get fixed in this offseason. Now, that's impossible almost, and I'll talk about it. Let me make sure you understand, and then who actually does that. So, okay, that's the premise. When everyone's asking me about position this, I always just say we need talent. That's what I mean by that. That's the rightful order of the basketball universe. Is we need a talent upgrade to put the guys who are in our roster or in positions that are much more natural to what their natural abilities are. Now, what I'm asking, holy smokes. So let's make sure we're perfectly clear on what that is when we continue. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chevy's located out in Woods Cross. I drove the Equinox recently, blown away. And what I loved about it was all the signs of the details that make the Equinox a terrific car. And what do I mean by that? One, actually, just something that always jumps out to me, is the touchscreen user-friendly? Is the whole way the car is set up user-friendly? 100%. Is it quiet? Is it well-made? Is it put together correctly? 100%. That's what I was impressed by when I drove the Equinox. The Blazer is the new one that's out on the market right now. Check it out. They've added the Blazer back to the lineup. And then you've got the incredible truck lineup. It includes the Silverado as well as the Colorado. The Colorado is the smaller one. The Silverado is the lazy boy chair, luxury of all luxury cars. It's pretty awesome. That's what's going on at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross as well as in Logan. Check it out. Go out and say hi to Tyson and the crew at Murdoch Chevy and experience the Murdoch's no regret policy that they've had in our market for 90 plus years. Now, it's so cute that I can sit here in this chair on this day and talk about the rightful order of the basketball universe. And I'm right, okay? To me, that is exactly what has to happen for us to take the next step, is we've got to get players into their roles that they can be successful at. Royce O'Neal can probably be a defensive stopping fifth starter, create off other people, hit open shots. I'm not putting the ball in his hands and asking him to run 25 pick and rolls a night. Okay? That's an example. Now, here's the problem. When we're talking about fixing the rightful order of the basketball universe, we're not doing it with our 23rd pick. And so we got to do it with acquiring talent or getting a free agent. And frankly, if we're honest about what we're asking our front office to do, which we don't want to be, we've not in the past, we haven't even gotten invited to these meetings, right? We're asking our front office to go try to acquire, like I'm on my Tobias Harris kick. Tobias Harris, in the past years, that version of Tobias Harris, has that player ever, not have they ever signed with Utah, have they actually ever given Utah a meeting? The fact that we could get a meeting should actually be our win of the postseason, of the offseason, because it shows a completely landscape-changing moment for our franchise. Now, you and I aren't going to think that's a win. We're going to want something that, you know, that moves the franchise forward, and you don't get any wins in the win column for a meeting. But if we're honest about it, honest and truthful, that would be a super big deal just to get that meeting. Now, part two of that is what we're asking for is who are these players? So one, I'm telling us that we got to go get a guy that fixes the rightful order of the basketball universe. What fixes the order of the basketball universe is a player that lets everyone else drop a slot or two into positions where they're more comfortable, where Jay Crowder doesn't have to be the primary outside shooting 9 3 shots a game. Who are they? So let me ask you. Let's play a game together. Tobias Harris. And let's make sure we understand when we talk about this, again, what we're asking. The Knicks, the Lakers, and the Clippers all have two max slots. Dallas has close to a max slot. Philadelphia has the ability to pay Tobias Harris more. If the Jazz walk out of free agency with Tobias Harris, it's one of the greatest surprise upsets of free agency ever. It's the Knicks getting the Bucks getting Greg Monroe, which actually turned out to be a bust, ironically enough. So let's does Tobias Harris fix the rightful order of the basketball universe? And my answer to that is yes. That's what I love about him. I think he complements our guys perfectly. I think he 100%. I think he plays well for the way he plays is good for both Rudy and Donovan. I think he's 1A on our offense. I think he can take the burden off of Donovan without stealing the burden, if that makes sense. I think he can play with the ball in his hands. I think he can be while Joe relieve the burden off Joe in the first unit, let Joe do second unit things. Obviously, if you get Tobias Harris, you don't bring Ricky back, but you can bring in a point guard who doesn't, or have Donovan play point guard, or another guard who doesn't have to be a ball-handling creator. A Royce O'Neal suddenly can play the rightful order of his basketball universe if, in fact, you have Tobias Harris handling, Joe Ingles handling, Donovan Mitchell handling, and Rudy rolling. That works. That's how this comes together. Does Kemba Walker do that? I think so. Maybe a little bit. Screws up the top a little bit. You got to make sure that Donovan thinks that his rightful order of his basketball universe is right. And maybe defensively you're not perfect because he's small. But the burden is taken off. The same things happen. What's the next tier here? Like, who does Mike Conley fix the rightful order of the basketball universe? So he would allow Donovan to play off the ball. He would give you the leadership. He would be able to shoot. He's probably still good enough to be a second scorer, right? Do we agree? He is probably not necessarily one you're going to, the way you would with Tobias Harris or Kemba, let run a offensive unit built on his own offense. Right? He's not a huge usage guy. His usage has jumped over the last 2 years to 25-26%. Takes care of the ball, but he's better an assist player. He's 30, he's going to be 32 years old. Better be a little careful on the rightful order of the basketball universe of what you're asking for a 32-year-old Mike Conley who turns 32 on October 11th. Okay, but it's a help. That's a talent upgrade. I think here's the next tier that gets really interesting on this idea of the rightful order of the basketball universe. Okay? If the Jazz were to go get Nikola Mirotic, does that do anything to the rightful order of the basketball universe? It's another good player. It's a talent upgrade. He's a really good shooter. He's a decent rebounder. It spreads the floor. It makes everyone's life better offensively. It clears the two bigs in the middle. But does that fix the right? That's a 12-shot-a-game guy, six of them being threes. He's not creating on himself. Does that fix the rightful order of the basketball universe? Excuse me. Bojan Bogdanović. Like him a ton in Indiana. Very good player. Older than people realize, 30 years old. This last year became kind of the primary guy in Indiana with Oladipo out and scored 18 points a game. Took 13 shots a game. So not a huge shot taker. Does he fix the rightful order of the basketball universe. That's an interesting one, right? Because, so Tobias, by the way, with the Clippers, was taking 16 shots a game. Boy, and I think could take a lot more. Bojan Bojanovic takes 13 a game, kind of only takes his threes if he's wide open. Is not a high usage guy. 22%, which really, if everybody equally distributed their five possessions, everybody would be at 20%, so that's low. He adds you another player, you know, who's a Joe Ingles type player. Does that fix, like, is Bojan Bojanovic a second scorer? Is Joe a third scorer? Which then would let, maybe you can keep Ricky in that circumstance. Ricky slide to a, does that work? His usage rate last year was a 21, 22. Just for contrast, Joe's is an 18. Like, that's not that dramatically different. I'm not sure. Like, if you have a great offseason, you add two of those guys, like a Bojan Bojanovic and a Nikola Mirotic, does that fix the rightful order of the basketball universe? It's really complicated. And again, almost what I'm implying is that you have to get that third, because one of your two stars is a non-offensive handler and a non-offensive creator other than off of other people in his verticality and Rudy, it feels as though you have to have a big-time usage player as your third core player to get the rightful order of the basketball universe, right? Or can you do the rightful order of the basketball universe with a bunch of guys all feeling as though they're 3A and no one's really 2A? And I don't know the answer to that. Malcolm Brogdon, to me, really nice player. Does he fix the rightful order of the basketball universe for the Jazz? I don't think so. Right? He's nice. He's a good player. Be a nice, interesting upgrade. But, like, who's our second scorer? Malcolm Brogdon's not a second scorer. Is Bojan Bojanovic good enough to be your second scorer on a really good team? I mean, I understand in Indiana this year when Oladipo was out due to necessity that he averaged 18 a game. But they also had Miles Turner averaging 13, Thaddeus Young averaging 13, Wesley Matthews, when he came over after the injury, averaging 12, Darren Collison's averaging 10, Sabonis was averaging like 14. I don't have an answer here. I do think it's the number one thing when everyone's asking, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? What do we need to do? What we need to do is get guys into positions where they can be successful. Too much of our frustration as fans on Joe Ingles, which is limited, but it's that we want him to shoot more. Okay, right, because we need him to shoot more, but that's not who he is. On Ricky Rubio, on Jay Crowder, to me, is often based on that we're asking them to maybe play one slot, one spot off of where they should be. Just a thought. Father's Day is right around the corner. Grip6.com is the spot. Grip6.com/lock. It's what we got my wife's father for Father's Day this year. It's what I got my dad for Father's Day last year. My dad and I were both cruising around town last week as he came into town for graduation for my, or whatever, promotion, graduation for my daughter out of eighth grade. And we were both sporting our Grip 6 belts. They are incredible. They're really a neat product. First of all, they have a patented buckle that holds the strap, so there are no flaps, no holes, and it loops underneath, so it looks clean and secure. Then you have interchangeable straps and buckles that make it all the more fun and can give you a bunch of different looks with the same belt and change it up all the time. In fact, 35% off all Grip 6 packs of 3 to 6 buckles and 3 straps, and includes the Grip 6 hanger. Go to grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/lock to check it out. It's a great Father's Day gift for you, and get your discounts there at grip6.com/lock. A Utah company with fabulous work put together. I have to tell you, check out the Craftsman series. I have the Craftsman buckle on my brown belt right now that I really, really like. The bamboo belt looks really cool as well. They've got a great setup of all those. That's grip6.com NFL.com/lock. Don't heat like your friends. Travel. Go to hotels.com yourself and fill out, get your deal for yourself at hotels.com. All right. I kind of gave you my take on the rightful order of the basketball universe. The Warriors, it's an interesting question. So if the Warriors lose tonight and Durant leaves, does Klay Thompson leave? Like, is it over? Like, if you're Klay Thompson, you're sticking around? Did you just find out you're not good enough to win a title? Or you want to be here for the Bay Area? Or are you going to L.A. to play with LeBron and be with your back in L.A. and where your dad's a broadcaster and be a part of all that? It's an interesting question of what the trickle-down effect on the Warriors is. They've got a great situation. They have a great coach. They have a super culture. Everyone loves Steph. They got a brand-new arena. But maybe. Maybe enough's enough. Be curious to see. Here's the thing that I also think relates to the Jazz when you're watching the Warriors right now. You know what's happened to them? They have two shooters on the floor instead of three. Nonetheless, to say, like, you can do what Milwaukee did, which is to have five. But they had two shooters on the floor right now with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And if the ball's in one of their hands, then they only have one shooter available. Draymond's not a shooter. None of their bigs are shooters. Iguodala's not a shooter. Livingston's not a shooter. And so the Raptors are playing off of them. And you're watching what happens. This is what the Jazz have. Rubio's not a shooter. Donovan is. Ingles is. Favors isn't. Gobert isn't. Crowder really isn't. It's, you're watching the Warriors play with two shooters and instead of three. And that's what the Durant injury has done to them. Is now the Raptors don't have to guard guys. And it's making it very, very difficult. If Cousins drives, he's turning it over. If other guys... And it's a great comparison to where the Jazz were for the last year offensively. It increases your turnover rate because there's not spacing. You struggle offensively. You get through it if you have great talent. But it's a little bit of like when you look at the Jazz this offseason. It's why, as I said earlier, as I'm GM of the 23rd pick, I am literally trying to trade the pick and players to get a longer contract so that if we can go sign a free agent in my imaginary world, then we have a player who can sign on for another year, and shooting. And I, you know, however I do it, I do it. But it's because you've got to have three shooters on the field. Here's the thing to watch tonight in that game. Watch for the Warriors to run screening action with their non-shooters. The only thing you can do if a team is not willing to guard your players, the only thing you can do is screen with them. So in other words, if Steph Curry has the ball and you're not going to guard Andre Iguodala or Draymond Green, then I screen with that player. And if I do a good enough job screening, there's no second defender coming close enough to come help on Steph or Klay. That's what you have to do if you have that circumstance. The Warriors in Game 4 were either tired, broken, or had a bad game. But they were terrible both offensively and defensively and really terrible defensively. I think we'll know early implies like what, the first 6 minutes? No, I think we'll know by halftime of whether it was a bad game or not. But if they start to get exploited on the pick and roll stuff again, then that is should be a really big eye opener to where the game is heading. And if they have the inability to get it, just watch. If they're not, you know, if they don't have guys on the floor, if they don't have the third shooter, that same offensive struggle probably comes together. All right, few draft notes. If you read all the mock drafts, Casey Acapella out of Stanford, Keldon Johnson, Kevin Porter Jr., Admiral Schofield, who I loved, Dort, the kid out of ASU, is an incredible athlete. Eric Paschal seem to be all the names are floating around. Carson Edwards' name is floating around as well, the little point guard. I dismissed him the first time I watched him because he's just so small. And then I watched Fred VanVleet, and then I thought about Patty Mills. And I think there's more and more of these 6'1 smaller guards floating around the NBA. Does the poor man's Lou Williams work? Like, I don't think you can expect someone to be Lou Williams. He's too special. But can you expect someone to be the poor man's Lou Williams? And if you can, I think that's getting interesting. Because then Carson Edwards might be able to play a little bit. So I dismissed him a little earlier than I think I maybe should have. The more I watch him, he's definitely got some special skills. And then the other aspect to him is that he's really, really strong. He's 21, so he's got a 6'6 wingspan. But, yeah, can a poor man's Lou Williams work. So anyway, I'm a little more willing to discuss him than I was earlier. Strength, length, but he is small. Like, you know, he could be what? Who was that guard out of you know, Shabazz Napier scored a lot in college. There have been a lot of these guys who then don't pan out. So I dismissed him fast. I'm not in love with this draft, frankly. And I probably might have dismissed him too fast. All right. That is Locked On Jazz today. Hope you have a good one. We'll talk NBA game finals number 5 tomorrow, as well as some more draft prospects as we continue this week. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NBA, biggest stories, local experts. Was the Brooklyn-Atlanta trade. They get into that today on the show, and then the draft mock draft starts on Wednesday. Have a great one. See you.